Our next presenter is Sarah Connor. Sarah is a nationally certified health education specialist and currently serves as health team manager for IMPACT, the IMPACT program, which stands for Improving Access Counseling and Treatment for Californians with Prostate Cancer. She's also project manager for several NIH and Department of Defense funded studies.
Good afternoon. I'd like to thank the medical care section of the Cancer Forum for accepting my abstract and allowing me to present. I have no financial disclosures. Okay. So why is communication about prostate cancer important? Prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer among men in the United States, and one in six men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. It's estimated that approximately 240,000 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer this year in the United States, and about 34,000 men will die of the disease. It is estimated there are approximately 2.3 million men living with prostate cancer in the United States. And overall, it accounts for 30% of cancer in men. The good thing is with prostate cancer that if it is caught at an early stage, there is a 100% five-year survival rate. There is an association of family risk with prostate cancer. It could be inherited or a genetic risk factor. It's not clear yet. But having a father or a brother with prostate cancer more than doubles a man's risk of developing the disease. The risk is also much higher for men with several families who've had the disease, particularly if their relatives were young at the time they were diagnosed. As we all know, decision-making related to any healthcare issue can be fraught with uncertainty and anxiety. And this is particularly true of prostate cancer since there is a lot of uncertainty related to the outcomes of treatment. And there are a lot of serious side effects that go along with treatment. So there is no one clear treatment that is a better choice if you are diagnosed with prostate cancer. First-degree relatives are at much higher risk for being diagnosed with prostate cancer, and if they do not know that a family member has had prostate cancer, they cannot make an informed decision or a clear informed decision about whether they should be screened for prostate cancer. Okay. The focus of our study was on Latino men, and why should we be looking at this population? They are the fastest growing minority in the United States. According to the U.S. Census, there was a 43% increase in the Hispanic population from 2000 to 2010. They are disproportionately uninsured. They come into, they are diagnosed with later stage, more aggressive prostate cancer disease. There are many barriers associated with their access to health care, including language barriers with physicians. They have very unique family interaction patterns, and there are a lot of different cultural views on how they communicate illness among men in their family and even with other with women in their family. So, as I mentioned, little is known about how high-risk Latino brothers and sons perceive their risk for prostate cancer and approach prostate cancer screening. In fact, there's only been one study by Gray in 2000 which actually explored the patterns of disclosure among men with prostate cancer. The study found that the majority of men wished to discuss their diagnosis, and audience selection was found to be based on a need-to-know basis, which included really only other male family members who might be at higher risk. The men in the study expressed that they did not want to disclose their prostate cancer diagnosis and found it difficult to reveal the diagnosis to those who were close to them. Without understanding the practices, experiences, and attitudes of brothers and sons of men with prostate cancer, it is impossible for us to develop an evidence base from which to facilitate culturally relevant support as these men face their cancer screening situations. Therefore, the overall purpose of our study was to understand prostate cancer treatment disclosure and screening decision situations from the perspectives of high-risk brothers and sons of Latino men treated for prostate cancer. So we conducted 30 qualitative interviews with brothers and sons of men with prostate cancer. Their ages ranged from 20 to 65. So there's a big age range. We use language and ethnicity matched interviewers, a semi-structured interview guide, and all interviews were conducted in the participants' homes. Transcripts were transcribed verbatim and then translated and verified by two bilingual research staff to produce English language transcripts for analysis. This is a methodology that our research team created, and we've published on this and presented here at APH on it. It's a method that's based on Brisbane's translation principles, and it's been shown, or we found it to show, it more accurately conveys the true meaning of the participant's experience and is more appropriate and meaningful and ensures greater reliability and validity of the data. So we used grounded theory to analyze our transcripts. In grounded theory, this method seeks to construct theory about issues of importance in people's lives. The importance of the issues emerge from the stories that the participants tell. And the data is analyzed through constant comparison of data. And it really, this grounded theory allows us to develop a descriptive model of risk perception among first-degree relatives of men with prostate cancer. So first, transcripts are read in their entirety, and then next we proceed with line-by-line coding, and then we compare these codes until we come up with categories and then themes and then eventually a model. And we keep memos and exchange and compare this data within our study team as we go through. Okay, so the initial theme that we have is one of finding out. And this is all related to how the first-degree relatives learned about their family member's prostate cancer diagnosis. And it really ranged from an individual actually being in the doctor's office when their father or brother was diagnosed to actually learning about it from a relative. There is one young man who said because he was the youngest in this family, he was the last to know, and he actually learned about it from a relative. There was also a lot of finding out about the diagnosis varied on whether the individuals were living close to the man who was diagnosed or whether they were living out of the country. Many of the men in our study are from Mexico, and they do travel back and forth between the country, and they do have family there that they're still supporting. So if your son or your brother was in Mexico, the odds are is that you learned about it much later after diagnosis and sometimes after they've completed treatment. So the second theme that emerged was understanding and belief. The majority of the brothers and sons interviewed knew little about prostate cancer. They knew that it was treated with surgery, and if they weren't treated, the odds are that they would die. Prostate cancer was generally described as serious, dangerous, and fatal. Men developed these impressions from others who had prostate cancer or talking to someone who they knew had prostate cancer. They didn't relate disease to being a disease of older men, which is a common misperception among people. And one man actually talked about it being connected to urinary problems. They did talk about it running in families, although they were not sure of how that mechanism worked. They also talked a lot about their attitudes toward screening. As most of you may know, prostate cancer screening is comprised of two parts. It's a simple blood test and then also a digital rectal exam. And most men fear the digital rectal exam more than anything else. They're embarrassed. It creates fear in them. It's humiliating for them. But they do recognize that they need to be screened in order to have the cancer caught and detected early so that they can be treated. But they also noted that there were issues related to lack of health insurance or financial barriers that may keep them from being screened. The overarching theme for the entire study was that of calculating their personal risk. Their understanding or belief about inheriting or the heredity of prostate cancer and the degree to which it affected them, and then having to weigh all this information and from various sources led to their calculating of risk. While they were unsure if it was a genetic connection to the disease, they did express concern that they may have higher risk because their father or their brother had the disease. Those who live closer to the gentleman who was diagnosed with prostate cancer actually had a greater sense of personal risk in their own lives. And finally, that the last thing was that of taking action. So they were able to, once they had this information, they learned about their first-degree relatives' diagnosis, they were able to process the information that they had gleaned and then take an action. And whether this action was to actually go ahead and get screened or to choose not to be screened because they were too afraid of what the outcome might be. So they were weighing their options and looking at the consequences of their decision to be screened. So this is essentially the a depiction of the model that we've come up with. And it just shows that learning about a relative's prostate cancer along with understanding and their belief can lead a man to calculate his own risk and take action. Key in the model is their belief in their own sense of vulnerability to the disease. Okay, and I'd like to thank our PI, Dr. Maliski, who's not here, our co-investigator, Mark Litwin, Maria Figueroa and Elizabeth Sandoval, part of our study team, our interviewers, Mauricio Gutierrez and Jose Cherbowski, and of course, most importantly, the men who told their stories. Thank you very much.